أنا
All right, so do you want to run this informally or do you want to just like tag team it?
We can just tag
Okay.
team it. Let's do that.
Well, here's our agenda, everybody. So I guess first we'll start off with our roll call. I guess I'll start off with people who have their videos on. And Jacob, you're my lucky first person who gets to introduce themselves.
Hello, Jacob Knowlton, Community Development Planner for the Capital Region Council of Governments. Nice to be here.
Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Of
Annika.
course.
Slightly less enthusiastic. No, I'm kidding. Annika Maher, Transportation Planner at CROG.
Annika, is this your first Bike Ped Committee meeting since
This
you've
is my
joined?
second,
Second.
so I
Okay.
have been introduced. Good to see everyone again. But yeah.
I should probably introduce myself. I'm Mike Cipriano, Transportation Planner with CROG as well. Caitlin, this will go to you.
Sure. Hey, everyone. Caitlin Palmer, Director of Regional Planning and Development at CROG. Thanks for coming today.
Patrice.
Patrice Carson, a Consulting Director of Community Development for the Town of Bolton.
All right, Rob.
Rob Alois, Director of Transportation at CROG.
Okay, thank you, and Jay.
Hi, everybody. Jay Stange at the Center for Latino Progress here in beautiful downtown Hartford. I'm the transportation, sorry, the Transport Hartford Academy coordinator. I think I'll pass it to, is that me? Am I the last one? Or
No,
can we go to Bob?
we got Lindsay next.
Okay, I'll go. Hi, everyone. I'm Lindsay Drotman. I'm a regional planning intern at CROG.
Thanks, Lindsay. Then we'll go to Bob. Or Jason, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Hi, my name is Jason Scott. I'm a civil engineer for the town of Rocky Hill.
Thank you. Amy?
Morning, Amy Watkins from Watch for Me CT, and thanks for that recommendation, Jay. I've just looked up the list and it is impressive. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Go ahead and put that in the chat.
Will do, will do.
Important stuff here.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, okay, Bob Dickinson from South Windsor, Bloomfield, and Trails Group Committee in Bloomfield and the South Windsor Walk and Wheelways in South Windsor.
Thank you. CJ, sorry, I didn't mean to catch you mid-drink.
It is CJ Ganza, City of New Britain.
Heidi?
Heidi Samoker, CROG.
Hiram. Hello, Hiram.
Town Planner Navon.
Thank you. Grace.
Hi everyone, Gracie with City of Hartford Planning Division. Owen usually attend Owen Deutsch usually attends these. Might switch off with them partway through this.
Okay. Thanks, Grace. And lastly, we got Michelle, South Windsor.
Hi, Michelle Light, Director of Planning, South Windsor.
Thank you. I think that's kind of everybody right now. Caitlin, you want to take? I don't think we have anybody from the public, but if we do, would anybody like to make any co public comments? Hearing none, we'll advance. All right, Caitlin, I'll let you do this.
Sure. So we've got approval of the minutes. It's so s funny because we don't really have, like, I don't think anymore an official group of our PED committee. But we still vote on the minutes anyway for approval. So I don't know if folks had a chance to review them, or if there are any comments or edits that we need to make, but otherwise would entertain a motion for approval from anyone.
I read the minutes. I'll make a motion to approve them. Patrice Carson.
Thanks, Patrice. Anyone in a second?
Jason Scott, second.
Great. Thank you. All right. Motion to approve. Everyone in favor, say aye. Sorry, Mike.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any abstentions or otherwise? Nays? Opposed? Okay. All right. Motion carries. We have approved minutes. Similarly, we're looking to approve our 2024 meeting schedule. Of note, hopefully you can read that okay. We've got Tuesdays, I believe it's still at the same time. We're anticipating pretty much still doing them all virtually, unless, you know, there's a specific instance where we still wanted to meet in person. We can do that. But this virtual and the time seems to be pretty convenient for folks. I will note, though, that we are switching our months up. Is that right? February, March.
Yeah, we're doing February instead of March. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I'm looking at this now. And I'm like, wait a second.
February and March.
I wanted to note that we were changing our meeting months a little bit, because I think normally we meet sort of in the third month of every quarter.
Should we
have a lot of committees that also meet quarterly in the third month of every quarter. So we were trying to mix it up. So what are our actual, are these the actual dates then, Mike?
February the 13th, the May one is going to be on May 14th.
Okay. So instead of March 11th, that's actually May 14th.
Yes.
Okay. So February 13th, May 14th, August 13th, and November 12th. Does anybody have any comments?
So May 13th instead of March. So just for last year, we met March, June, September, and December. This year, I mean, 23.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
So shifting the month back.
Okay.
Every quarter a little bit, just because, like I said, we've got a couple of committees that meet quarterly, which just means that those third months of every quarter get a little chaotic around here. So if this works for everybody, I believe it would be, it's May 14th is the Tuesday. Okay. May 14th. So I guess I'd be looking for a motion to approve with that amendment.
I'll make a motion to approve, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. And thank
you, Patrice Carson. I'll second.
Awesome. Perfect. All right. Everyone in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Anyone opposed or abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. We have an approved meeting schedule with the edit. Sorry, I didn't catch that, folks. That's my bad. That would be a very busy first quarter. And speaking of busy, I'll go ahead and take this update. So as you all are aware of, we're working pretty steadily towards the completion of our Capital Region East Coast Greenway study. That QR code will just take you to our website. We've done a series of engagement and interactive map opportunities for public comment. Sort of the big ticket things that we have achieved probably since the last time we've talked is we've had conversations with the town of East Hartford, and essentially the mayor's office has identified, out of the shortlist opportunities that we presented them, they've identified the preferred alignment in East Hartford, which is essentially, you know, we're still working now on the details of the preferred alignment, but essentially is the Silver Lane corridor. As opposed to, there was a northerly option also presented, sort of going through the Hockenham River area. And there was also a southerly option that we presented them with that kind of went through the National Development Site and down towards Brewer Street as well. So that is our progress in East Hartford. In Simsbury, the Board of Selectmen actually formally endorsed the preferred alignment in Simsbury so that utilizes basically, you know, connecting from Farmington Heritage Canal Trail to the west over to the section of the Bloomfield Simsbury Terrafield Trail that was just completed. Essentially, that was the, you know, getting from point A to point B was our goal. And we identified an abandoned raised rail corridor sort of there over on the west side of the river, actually, which we are proposing that we utilize cross the river on some old abutments, and then kind of we'll be sneaking our way behind, if you're familiar with the area, the Governor's Bridge condos over there, And still some questions remain to be seen on the permitting side of things on both sides of the river. But they did formally endorse that. So essentially the town is going to be looking to get more into the design phase and engineering phase of that and answer some of the questions that remain. To that end, we scoped a distinct Simsbury study task as part of the project, and that is now open for public comment on our East Coast Greenway page. If you go to the Simsbury section of the website, that is now available for public comment and closes off the top of my head. I cannot recall, but I believe it's January, right before January
15th, I believe.
January 15th. Perfect. Thank you. And then we're progressing Bloomfield and Hartford shortlist options. We've got some pretty strong options in Bloomfield. Sort of, we have like a northern section and a southern section with in Bloomfield sort of converging at the town center area. We don't have our process yet or our definitive on what the preferred alignment is going to be in either of those communities, largely because a lot of it does hinge on the work that we're doing in Hartford, which is a feasibility study task we've added to the project for looking at rail with trail along the Griffin Line corridor, which is a little different of a task than what the city and iCult are also working on together, which is the Heartline idea, which is, you know, utilizing the railroad right-of-way with like more of a rails to trails vision. So we're looking at the harder question, which is how do you do trail with the rail there, and is it feasible? And short answer so far, not to, you know, have any spoilers, but it looks like the answer is yes. So that's coming along nicely, and we're expected to hopefully wrap that task in early 2024, and then we'll be able to proceed with our towns being able to select their preferred alignments in those communities as well, and then wrap the study in spring of 2024. Okay. Any questions on East Coast Greenway, by the way? Excellent.
Okay. I think I missed this slide going through them. But since our last meeting, we kind of talked about our walk audit program. And actually, Annika, one of our colleagues, Maureen, and myself went out to Andover and met with Eric Anderson. We kind of walked Route 316 from the elementary school and like the town hall complex north to the Hop River Trail or East Coast Greenway. I think it was a couple miles round trip. I think we learned a lot. I think he learned a lot. So overall, I think it was pretty beneficial. So I think he's looking to get a lots of project and get some funding for that to possibly make a separated trail or multi-use trail for the round trip on that. But yeah, I think that's something that we would like to do more of in the future. Maybe when the weather warms up a little bit, would be more beneficial for towns, but certainly open to meeting with towns and discussing those. I know like Canton has contacted us before. We're kind of working with Weathersfield to potentially do something. But yeah, if anybody thinks of anything, just let us know. We can kind of schedule something with you. So.
Okay, and this is me. And I'm realizing there's a typo in Capital Region Council of Governments because I copied it from somebody else's slide who had it wrong, and I should have caught that. That's going to bother me the entire time I stare at this slide. So basically, for those of you who remember, the last time we met, we're wrapping up our 5-year plan and program that we had with the state of Connecticut through Department of Public Health, what we called our CDC grant, or our active CT project. And this was one of our unique projects where we got to actually work statewide. Part of that, we had actually partnered with BikeWalk Connecticut over the course of the years to offer trainer programs. And what we kind of, coming out of year 4, we were really struggling to get schools interested to set up the commitment and the time to do it. It's a pretty big lift to get into schools, as I think a lot of us are aware of on this call, that try to do that on occasion. So we decided that in year five, we wanted to pivot and still work with Bike Walk Connecticut. And they suggested to us to update a survey that they had actually conducted in 2014, where basically they surveyed Connecticut residents across the state to understand, you know, so how towns were doing with their complete streets. I think their last survey sort of ranked towns, which we didn't do this time. We just ended up doing actually two surveys. We did a survey of residents to, again, understand their experiences and priorities that they had as pedestrians and bicyclists in their individual towns. And then we also did a municipal survey as well, where we asked local officials, some of you all on the call actually might have been the ones that responded to our survey, to kind of ask how or what the status of their bike and pedestrian planning and policy work was in their own towns as well. We went directly to our local staff and statewide on the municipal survey, but the resident survey we promoted online, and we boosted it and actually had some good success there. And yeah, next slide, please, for that. I've already said that, so. So there was actually sort of two different, I'm only going to give you like a little piece of it, because it's actually, we have slides from Bike Walk CT on both the municipal staff survey and the resident survey that are actually pretty lengthy. So I think we could probably post those and share them with you as well, but wanted to give you a snapshot of some of what we heard. We kind of did it a two-part survey. We did a pedestrian survey component, and then we also had an optional bike survey component for those that wanted to take it. And we had a more than half, I think, of who took the survey ended up also taking the bike one as well. I think that's indicative of our networks and who we were reaching out to as part of this process. So we have some gaps actually in who participated, obviously. But just to highlight a couple of things, as far as the pedestrian experience, you know, slightly more than 50% of people that responded said that they were slightly uncomfortable or uncomfortable being a pedestrian. And the survey kind of teased out reasons as to why. And then 55% of respondents, you know, responded saying getting places by foot was generally not possible. That was that number was much lower for bicyclists. So that's a positive. And I think it's interesting tying this into our POCD survey work that we're doing as well, because we're updating our plan of conservation and development. While 55% of residents responding said that they couldn't get anywhere else on foot, in our POCD work, a lot of people would like to have that option, not just to take the car. So work to be done on that front. Next slide, please. So just really quickly, I'm not going to dive too much into it. Sidewalks was one of the most common things that was mentioned from residents when they were responding to, you know, issues specifically when trying to be a pedestrian. So this just highlights some of the issues. And you know, at the bottom, you know, we have sidewalks and pathways are generally safe, and we have many of our, you know, sidewalks and walking paths. Like, there's still a lot of respondents who did answer positively on that, but also quite a lot of work to be done. Starting and stopping unexpectedly is almost 40% of people who responded said that that was an issue in their communities. So a lot of data was gathered and are in these reports. Next slide, please. And just covering this one as well, the street crossing. So the percent of respondents who selected one of the following, they could select multiple. And just the overwhelming response for both the pedestrians and I believe bikes as well was that traffic is just really fast. And then, you know, it says there's a little discrepancy. It looks like it says 63% of people responding for pedestrian experience said traffic is driving too fast. But collectively across all the survey respondents, 78% of people actually said drivers generally drive too fast. I think it was kind of a different question, or they're combining the bikes and the pedestrian survey takers. And you know, we can address this through enforcement, but we can also address this through engineering as well. Next slide, please. And this is just what was really great about this is that we had, you know, multiple choice answers, or you could select more than one. We also had quite a few open-ended questions, and basically of the folks that, you know, took the time to answer the survey, which again was quite a few, a lot of folks were very generous with their time and added commentary to a lot of the questions. So, you know, 585 people offered additional comments about the survey topic. Of note, 663 respondents offered comments specifically calling out good streets or intersections for pedestrians. And then unsurprisingly, we also had even more respondents offering commentary on what they considered bad streets or intersections. And I just wanted to highlight this because, again, I think this is potentially really interesting and helpful information for our towns. And I think the last slide I have on the pedestrian piece is the next one. Just kind of iterating that I'm highlighting the CROG, the our region's participation in the survey here. That line sort of demarks where we had less than 10 responses per town. So in particular, Wethersfield, it's also fortuitous. They actually reached out because they are working on their bike ped plan. And what we want to do is we've pulled aside the data for Wethersfield, including the open-ended comments, and we want to get that out to our towns. Particularly, we think it might be, again, helpful for you all to hear what people said, the good and the bad. Next slide. I don't think I highlighted really any of the bike stuff, but we do have bike information as well, unless it's coming up on another slide, but I don't think so. I wanted to highlight this. So this was the result of the municipal survey that we did. Let's call your attention to the CROG region, which has the most green as far as progress on our plans and policy work, as far as complete streets and bike ped planning goes. So congratulations to the CROG region. And then also wanted to, as part of this process, what I really wanted to do is kind of create a repository for folks, thinking that it might be helpful if you had like one place where you could go rather than search individual communities all the time, where you could go and find policies and plans that already existed, potentially as a resource for you all, so you don't maybe have to recreate the wheel or be like, you know, what is a similar town like mine, whether I'm rural or urban or suburban, kind of doing in this space. We decided it made the most sense for this to live on the Bike Walk Connecticut website, since it's a statewide resource. So if you go to our website, I think you can find it under resources and then bike ped plans as well, because I know this link is not clickable for you all. You can find the list of towns. We included maybe draft plan to town council. I also wanted to show this too, because yeah, if the map doesn't seem correct, or expects to have a plan late 2023. Where are you? What's your color? Are you green right now? Is that why? Where am I?
It's red, Jalen.
Right below. You're red. Okay. Yeah. I don't know why, because I would say also the consultant is the one that did the survey, put this together for us. And she kind of said that she was pretty generous. So like if towns are working on anything at all, she generally kind of gave them a yellow. If you see any color coding that looks suspicious, let me know. And also if you go to that website and you find that your town plan or policy isn't listed, to also let us know, because we can have Mary Cochran with BikeWalk CT probably update this website. And we included also like there's plans and policies, which was my main focus. But also if POCD mentions are, you know, were provided by the town, we also highlighted that as well. So I wanted to point you to that resource. I think that's it for me, Mike, on these at least. Last one for me is just updates and news. And actually there's a couple more I realized I wanted to add to the slide that I didn't. There's, for those of you that are not aware of, and Heidi, I'll put you on the spot because I think you could probably give a better, you know, couple sentence breakdown or 1 minute breakdown on what PA 23207 is for those of you that are unfamiliar. But in order to take advantage of that legislation, our communities have to adopt a model ordinance or have to adopt an ordinance. So we thought it would be helpful to sort of give you all a guide and provide you model language for that ordinance. And Heidi, I don't know if you want to add anything of like actual context to that.
Sure. For those of you that might not be familiar, Public Act 23-207 had a lot of stuff in it. One piece of it allows for cities and towns to adopt an abatement ordinance so that certain trails in their town could qualify for a reduced tax abatement. And it also allows towns to consider those trails under PA 490 open space. So as Caitlin mentioned, we created a guidance document that talks about the new act and also provides a model ordinance template. And we hope in January to release that. In the meantime, if anybody has questions about it, definitely reach out to us.
Awesome, thank you. And if you also think of any questions, you can throw them in the chat. And yeah, like Heidi said, we're hoping to get that out to you very soon. I also wanted to touch base, and Rob, you are here. I see you. I see you on the call at least. So feel free to jump in here, but wanted to highlight that there are conversations and it seems like a path forward for the state to assist communities with ADA transition plans, starting with a pilot and NVCOG. And Rob, if you wanted to add anything onto that.
Sure. The state is looking into, or CONDOT specifically, is trying to get some federal funding to do ADA transition plans for communities across the state. It is unclear whether they will be able to do full transition plans. FHWA funding will mainly focus, is used to mainly focusing within the transportation right of way. So things like buildings and, you know, schools and building infrastructure may not be included, but at least it seems like they're going to move forward with at least the roadway infrastructure, doing ADA transition planning and having a consultant on board to at least put together templates and start the process for towns. They're going cog by cog. The first cog on their slate is NVCOG. I don't think they have a schedule for when they would get to CROG, but I would assume this would be a multi-year type of a thing, like the regional transportation safety plans that CONDOT assisted all the cogs with putting together initially. So it's just some upfront information. It appears that it is a go with NVCOG and that it will extend to the rest of the state eventually.
That'd be really helpful. So definitely if your communities are already in the midst of doing some transition planning, don't stop doing what you're doing. But this is some positive news. Hopefully that our towns could have some assistance with this in the future. What I didn't put on here and should have is, and I kind of already mentioned it, but just wanted to give a shout out to everybody's hard work, including Satoria in our office. But we attended the ribbon cutting for the Bloomfield-Simsbury, the Terrafield Trail connection piece, which was a really awesome event and was well attended. And they had beautiful weather in the middle of November. So that happened, and then also wanted to announce, and you all probably are aware, but our Lot SIP solicitation is currently open as well and closes when, Rob?
I believe it's in February. I don't have the exact date. Okay. I'm 90% sure it's in February, though. So there is time.
There's time. And then also, again, something you probably are all aware of, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the rec trails funding opportunity is, I believe, also now officially open. And I believe there was a press release. So, yeah, that's all I have for updates and news.
Which one's that one, Caitlin?
That is the rec trails. Is it just called the rec trails grant?
Is it like deep? Or
deep. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And February 22nd for the Lot SIP proposals to CROG. I also know that likely within the next year, we'll be into another solicitation for multi-year federal funding for transportation alternative set aside, which is mainly more things are eligible than just bike ped infrastructure, but mostly That seems to be the most common application for TA set aside is bike ped infrastructure. So that will likely be out in the next year. Our last solicitation solicited for 5 years worth of funding. So we do it on a many year basis in anticipation of the next federal transportation funding bill, which could throw a wrench in everything. But in general, they've been supporting TA set aside and expanding the program. So that's good news.
And I'll add the deadline for rec trails. It looks like $10 million was allocated. The applications are due March 11th. So a little bit more time on that. Okay. Did you have more? Please feel free.
Well, I don't know if that's just the time for general updates or if there'll be more time. There's also, we were talking about traffic traveling too fast in a prior slide. Automated speed enforcement was enabled by the legislature the last session, and DOT is will be releasing per requirements the guidance for towns and how to implement that if they would like. And so that should be that has to be out by the end of the year, so the end of this month. I did get a preview look at some of the guidance. There's a lot of it is bound by what the legislation reads. But in general, I think what's interesting is there are four areas that you can put automated speed enforcement cameras. And that is at a traffic signal, in a school zone, I think they call it a bike ped safety zone, which has its criteria for designating it. But I don't believe there are any in the state yet that have gotten that designation. And then there's a catch-all category of other, but that kind of has to be backed up by data. And there's some requirements for how to define that. Jay?
Yeah, Rob, thanks so much for bringing this up. I think there's a number of municipalities in the Capital Region that are looking for this guidance to come. And it's been certainly a topic of discussion in West Hartford, where I live and where I've been participating in some meetings. I'm curious if you can tell me a little bit more about the school zone definition, because I'm learning a little bit about school zones. OSTA at DOT, you know, they have a strict process that municipalities go through to have a school zone recognized. And I think, for example, in West Hartford, we only have two school zones, and they're sort of on the arterial definition, which is, a really sort of, there's the least amount of terminology to define the school zone. So for this guidance, is it going to be defined by schools or by the OSTA school zone qualified list? Does that question make any sense?
I think the question makes sense, and I would like to know that myself. I do know that OSTA is the ones responsible for preparing these guidelines, so I would think that they would use their own criteria for school zones. I'm trying to find here.
Because like, for example, in West Hartford, there are no elementary schools that have been defined by OSTA as school zones and have the speed limit limitations or the infrastructure changes that are allowed by OSTA. The town has never applied for school zone definitions for any of its elementary schools. And so I'm just wondering if that means that those school zones wouldn't be eligible for automated enforcement. And maybe it's a question to bring up with the commissioner, but I'm you can see how that might be a really interesting question, right, for towns that are looking at it.
Yeah, I'm looking through a presentation right now, and all I see, I mean, I can get back to you with it, but in just for the whole group, all I see is that in school zones, you can have them for speeding only. I see here. I'm kind of on the spot here, but ped safety zones and
And I know it's well, you got it here. Rob, it's interesting too because we had Kristen Levesque here, and you know, she was talking about, you know, safe routes to school and like their sort of like their catchment area or whatever that they're kind of looking at for purposes of that program is like a lot of the state. So it's probably not that one, I guess. But
so I do see in this presentation, they do say has been previously approved by OSTA or the local traffic authority. So one or the other. So I don't know if that gives towns the authority. Every town has a local traffic authority person designated. And it says LTAs can approve school zones and municipal roads where there is no change in speed limit. So there must be some provision here for, in addition to the OSTA designated ones for the LTA. It does say they have to meet the definition of a school zone per CGS 14212B. But it gives two people the authority, both OSTA and the local traffic authority, the ability to designate them. Oh, OSTA has to approve them on state roads. And then the LTA can approve them on municipal roads, but only if there's no change in speed limit. If that helps. This was their initial guidance. And I don't know, you know, what their final guidance will say.
Good question, Jay. Anything else before I think it'll be Mike discussing our upcoming project? Any other questions? Okay. Mike.
All right, guess we'll jump into it. So yeah, we have a bike ped priority network study coming up. I think we're pretty excited about that. I guess what better place to unveil it than the bike ped committee? So we're still kind of working on the scope, hoping to finalize that soon. We got a great team kind of working on that. So Annika and Heidi are here too. They're going to be helping me out with that. They both bring a lot of great thoughts and ideas and everything to the project. So kind of really excited to be working with them. And I think we can identify some really good corridors throughout the region and benefit the communities. So some objectives that we have for the study itself, we are going to be building off some existing work, such as our Complete Streets and East Coast Greenway studies. You know, for this study, we're really going to be focusing on off-road or separated trails. So not really looking into bike lanes or sharrows or anything like that. You know, existing conditions, we'll look at both past and present plans, studies and other efforts, as well as existing infrastructure kind of throughout the region. You know, so looking at like, you know, what we currently have for like multi-use paths, bike lanes, side paths, you know, count data, whether that's for cars or bikes and peds, and then also environmental data that we have. You know, we're really looking to close in significant gaps in our network. As well as create corridors that have regional significance. And we really want to identify potential benefits for the communities. So that's something that we'll be able to get out of this. And lastly, we'll be trying to move these corridors forward and look into funding options as well. So these two maps, the map on the left kind of includes locations that were identified in the CROG Complete Streets Network, as well as existing and planned trails, and other bike routes that were identified by both DOT and CROG. The map on the right, kind of looking at the purple lines, those really just identify the CROG Complete Street Network. And those are some of the corridors that we might kind of focus on, we might think would score highly. So our project time frame, so we're looking to kind of get the RFQ out, I guess next month. And then February and March, kind of looking to get a consultant hired and really kind of starting to get the work going. We anticipate it to be about 18 months, so looking to the fall of 2025, give or take, for project completion. So here are some general tasks, throughout the scope. As we kind of touched earlier, we'll be looking at the existing conditions with infrastructure and some past studies. We're also looking at the potential benefits for his community and identify the regional network and utilize a screening process to develop a short list of alternatives. We're also gonna be looking at a network design with costs and benefits. And we're going to look at additional gaps in the network, funding sources, and create prioritization criteria and rankings for the corridors. Lastly, we're going to try and kind of develop an implementation plan schedule. So if we kind of get some of this stuff built, using some of the short, mid, and long-term recommendations. So there's going to be a lot of, we have 38 towns. There's going to be a ton of public outreach, whether that's, in-person meetings, virtual, pop-ups, workshops, our website, social media, all that stuff. So it's going to be pretty extensive. I think this is kind of my last slide. But so, we are going to have an advisory committee with this. That's probably going to be made up of possibly some of you guys, some towns, some state agencies, some other local agencies. As we said, there's going to be a lot of time for public input. And obviously, we touched on the existing conditions before. And then also, we want to kind of focus on some EJ communities as well. So I guess kind of just want to open it up and see if anyone had any questions or if there's anything that they think should be included in this.
And I'll start, Jay, I saw your question in the chat, and I think, I don't know if it's maybe how we worded it, because I take your point. I think, at least for me, I'm interested, I think that maybe we frame it more as a question. Is that the correct way of looking at it? I think for me, I would be open to on-road facilities, but I would be curious to know, I don't think it would be just any on-road facility. I think we would want to prioritize, physically separated, whether it's delineated or buffered, bike lane. So I'd be curious, because I imagine we've got some long corridors where maybe we could safely do that and it could be a regional connection. So I think maybe you think of it more of like a question. I'd be curious to see what people, think high level and provide some feedback on the potential scope.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to, flesh out my own question, Caitlin, I think what I heard Mike say is that the network is only going to analyze off-road and separated trails in the project. And to me, that sort of says to me that the focus is going to be on primarily recreational users. And, my interest here in the Capital Region is on building out a network that's going to support an active utility cyclist or walker as well. So, for example, like the way that I define the difference between a utility cyclist and a recreational cyclist is a utility cyclist is that person that you see with the turned up road bars and the plastic bags with groceries hanging off them, and they're actively smoking a cigarette while they're riding. That's a dude who's trying to get somewhere, not a person who is out on their road bike getting some exercise. So what are we going to do in this plan, Mike, for the dude who's trying to get somewhere and is on the street instead of somebody who's going to be riding the East Coast Greenway with a $5,000 road bike in Lycra?
Yeah, no,
that's my question. I'm sorry if I'm missing the point here, but that's what I want to know about.
No, I think we want to get it for both the recreational and utility users. I don't think we want to alienate anybody.
I wonder if we just put it on the slide. Because
one of the things that I've been sort of calling on CROG to do in my time in the last year is to try and help the municipalities connect corridors that are with on-street bike facilities and walking and transit facilities, so that we don't have that classic bike lanes end at the town line problem. And I think that CROG can do this by providing design and by providing a regional, conceptual plan that then the towns can use to start the projects and to make them connect. So for example, Farmington Avenue, which is an example I always use in the city of Hartford, the bike lines end at Prospect Avenue and they don't continue down Farmington Avenue into West Hartford. Why is that? Well, West Hartford has a different time frame and a different set of project managers and a different set of funding and a different set of priorities. And it would be great if CROG could pick priority corridors that they could provide design and coordination for between the municipalities. Because as you know, a lot of our bike trips don't end at the town line, but unfortunately a lot of the infrastructure does. So that's kind of like what I'm trying to advocate for. And I hope I'm not like going outside the scope of a discussion here that feels awkward or whatever, but that's what I think CROG should do.
That's a good point, Jay. And that's why we initiated this study, because, you know, as the regional entity, like you said, we're trying to foster communication between the adjacent towns and come up with a framework. And I don't see it. I mean, the scope hasn't, we haven't even gone out for RFQ yet, but we're still scoping. And I think your point about separated, I think the point that we were trying to make is trying to put high level bike facilities, the arterials of the bike network, together. And it could be on road, it could be off road, I guess the point that the off road and separated trails, I don't think it should be limited to that. But the point we're trying to make with that is that these would be high functioning bike ped corridors, the arterials of the bike ped network, because we do have a complete streets plan and it did identify priority locations, but it went so fine-tuned and granular that I think it lost the priority for our towns. The priority of, like, for so long we've had the East Coast Greenway as a main priority through CROG, and we're headed towards the end of that. So I consider that a success. But what builds on that? What builds away from the spine line? What builds, through communities and serves, the more urban communities also? So yeah, point well taken. And we definitely want the scope to work for everybody. But it wasn't, our intention wasn't to get as granular as our current bike ped plan, which I think loses a little bit of the priority context of, it loses some of the focus due to how universal it was and how it identified so many routes, so that was kind of the thought with this.
Yeah, Rob, I totally appreciate that because, looking individually at the municipalities, I think it's really helpful for bike facility plans to focus on the trunks, as you say, the arterials or the main trunks. And then you can, of course, build branches off of those. And so I think that's really important. I guess what I'm saying is regionally here in the capital region, why can't we have main trunks that are on street facilities and work with our minis. So like you immediately segregated that possibility at the start of this report by saying that it's only going to be separated in off-road paths.
Yeah, we can change that, Jay. And the big thing with one great thing about separated and off-road is they are safer. So one thing we don't want to do is create anything unsafe, but yeah, if it serves people and it can be done safely on road, certainly.
Yeah. I would actually have a question for the group, and Hiram, I saw you come up here, so I know you've got something too. I would be curious to know from this group, what do we not want? Like Sharrows, I think probably we don't want Sharrows. Bike lane, maybe that's not enough either. Like when you think about like a regional on-road facility, what do we want to emphasize? Is it something that has at least a buffer? Is it something that has at least some sort of physical delineation in like the buffer space? I'd be curious to know that from the group as well.
I mean, that's kind of what I was taking from this. Like, I was thinking it could be like a bike lane, but there might be some bollards or like curbing or something to physically separate. Not to say that I guess that could still be on road. So Jay, I apologize. Maybe I misspoke with that. That was just kind of my thinking on that.
Yeah, and I think ConDOT's, I mean, there's plenty of guides, but even the Complete Streets, the most recent Complete Streets guidance had a hierarchy of what they considered their hierarchy of accommodating cyclists. And it went, you know, from the Sharrows all the way up to, or, you know, from a wide shoulder all the way up to not separated, but buffered, I guess you would call it, facility, and then off-road trails. So, I mean, I think that these arterials would tend towards the top of that, you know, and they could still be on road, but, you know, just, you know, safer than, you know, a paint mark, you know, maybe buffered or some other separation.
I think also, if I can hop in really quick, I don't usually speak on this stuff, but I know when we're going over our POCD and updating that, currently we're talking about a sense of belonging, and which is huge. So if we're going to incentivize this kind of transportation or try to invest in this, I think maybe part of our discussion is creating an environment that is fostering a sense of belonging for cyclists, and that includes being visible and being protected. So I don't think it's necessarily anything that we're throwing out the door of everything has to be out of the way, or we're putting bike lanes completely off roads or hidden almost. And I know that's kind of how they've been treated in the past maybe, but yeah, it's within our own will, and we want to do this where we're creating a sense of belonging for cyclists. So looking into protected bike lanes and making sure that it's visible to people who aren't cycling right now as well, so that they know they can get out of their cars and actually do this.
Yeah Jay, we should definitely we'll definitely take that into consideration, obviously, and I don't think we're on different pages as far as where these things might go, or we're not trying to exclude any type of facility, even if it seemed that way with that wording.
Yeah, if I can add, I think this is a great, like, we're right at that time where we want to be thinking about like what language we want to put in this draft and how we want to use that. So great conversation. Like, just to add, like, when I'm thinking about this project, I'm thinking like, how can we make like places that a grandma and her granddaughter feel safe taking two bikes or three to go out to the grocery store or the cafe. And to me, when I think we tried to make that initial separation to get to that point of like, I can't see that being just one line of paint on the road, like at this point. And so trying to think, how can we define that and make sure we're making a truly inclusive space for a lot of those people who aren't going to get onto those, you know, very initial bike lane facilities. How can we make a real backbone and spine? So yeah, just great conversation. Really appreciate it, everyone.
Yeah, just thanks for that clarification about how separated bike lanes in this regional design could include on-street facilities if they're appropriately low stress 880 facilities that are protected and will bring people out, because that's what I want for my people here in Hartford, is somewhere safe to ride. So, you know, I think there's a lot of language. Gilberto Penalosa has done a great job with AARP over the years communicating, you know, the low stress 880 design. And I'm going to be going to Montreal in January, y'all, and they have, wonderful 880 designs there that are now completely maxed out with use, even in the wintertime. I'll bring back some pictures.
The cold month to visit Vancouver. Hiram, I know you had popped off mute for a second. I wanted to make sure you had a chance to voice your feedback questions.
I don't really have any questions. I just think that what's been said about the safety and the ability for the most people to use the trails is really critical importance. I don't think that should necessarily exclude any of the more urban situations. I just think that the people that will use them will be completely different than what we'll see on trails that are separated and protected. That's all, really.
Anything else? Oh, Bob.
Yeah, I was just commented on the, bike lanes, protected bike lanes, and off-road side paths. Whenever I see a 4 or 5 foot sidewalk on the side, and four or five feet of snow shelf, and then a 5 foot shoulder, I say, why not reduce the width of that shoulder and expand the sidewalk or multi-use path to a full 8 foot or eight or 10 foot. And I cringe every time I see a new sidewalk when they've really got room to put much more in, more width to, so that they could accommodate bicycles that want to get off the road.
You said that several meetings ago, and I have to say it stuck with me because every time I'm driving, I'm taking note of sidewalk space or lack thereof and like snow shelf area and shoulder area, and I'm like, we just need to shift the curb out.
Exactly. Thank you, Bob. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, one great thing if you do that and you take and you provide that facility and narrow the shoulders is that, you know, it will reduce speeds of the traffic too, so it sometimes it can work in that way too. And there are ways to do bike lanes on road too, that, you know, if you put up enough, if you engineer it right, the speeds will go down too. So it's, but just something to be mindful of. Yeah.
And you'll get those timid people that just won't ride on the edge of the road where a car can swerve over and hit them. There's a certain number of people, I think a lot of people that only want to will ride be on a bicycle when they feel that they're not a target for cars.
Yeah, and that's kind of my question. Like for me on road, I want some sort of like, you know, delineators or something at least. I feel like I would feel better with some sort of physical barrier, even if it's just a plastic delineator, rather than even a painted buffer. So I'm curious, and you know, maybe that'll be probably something that maybe we'll tease out during the engagement process as well, what folks are comfortable with. Because some folks are comfortable with a 8-inch shoulder, but most people not so much.
Well, through the RFQ process, we'll be hiring, you know, hopefully a best in class expert firm to assist us, and you know, they'll have the latest.
Are there any other things? I mean, I know we only briefly touched on, you know, some of the scope potentials right now. Is there any other thing that we should be considering that maybe you think we've completely missed? And one of the questions I have specifically, are we doing enough for pedestrians in this? I think a lot of our conversations in our bike ped subcommittee, and even when we do complete street plans, are, you know, for bicycle infrastructure. By and large, if we are putting in bicycle infrastructure, we're also accommodating pedestrians. But I did want to throw that question out. Recently was sitting in on a webinar where the focus was like on providing facilities that are maybe just for pedestrians. Like that's okay to do as well. But I think that's sort of like when all of the other stuff is done, you know, you can start really building out your pedestrian infrastructure as well. And maybe it's not always ADA, but I think maybe for the purposes of this project, we would be looking at ADA compliant. Everybody can use it. Bikes and pets, but I'll throw that out there. Are we doing enough for pedestrians?
Actually, this is Jason from Tenaraki Hill. I kind of wondered about the. I'm seeing a lot more e-bike users on the road. I know that the state has offered some grant money for reducing purchase price for people. And I'm starting to see more of that in areas with disadvantaged citizens, either disadvantaged through physical disability or through income inequality. And so I'm wondering if, as those bikes become cheaper and more accessible to people, if you're planning on an increase in usage in bikes and then therefore a higher need for this infrastructure that you're looking into. Are you accounting for that in your planning for trying to figure out generation for users and will this be enough? I guess that's as far as I want to go with that. Any thoughts on e-bikes?
I think we touched on e-bikes a little bit. I don't think it was kind of all fleshed out, but that's definitely something we can kind of look into a little bit more.
Yeah, and I know the Bike Ped Advisory Board kind of occasionally has this conversation about, you know, whether they should be thinking about scooters as well. And I don't think this is answering your question, but for me, the way I see it, adding bike infrastructure, like bike lanes, the question would be on some of the trails, because I think local municipalities have the ability to sort of say whether or not electric vehicles can ride on trails. Yeah. But you know, the way I see it, bike lanes especially, like that's additional infrastructure for bikes, e-bikes, and e-scooters. What's the trail question?
Could I chime in on that one? For part of the study, we're looking at destinations. So where do people need to go to? So whether they're walking, using a scooter, a regular bike, or an e-bike, we're focused at people probably want to reach a destination. So I think in a way, it will be embedded in the study.
Yeah, that'd be really good, because I'm watching with my own father as he's aging. You know, he's starting to run into some physical limitations. And I grew up as a motorcycle rider, and he rode as well. And he's, you know, told me that, you know, in his mid to late 70s, he's like, yeah, I think my motorcycle riding days is over. He's like, primarily because I can't swing my leg over onto the seat. And that's the same issue with bicyclists, that there are certain people that will eventually have trouble with that swing, or always have had trouble with swinging that leg over. And bicycles have that e-bike has the ability to take the pedaling function away or minimizing it. And so if those people can at least get onto a seat, they might be able to use that as a way to travel. Mm-hmm. And I think it might lead to more usage over time. And in a community like mine, I think it's something to consider, because in the communities all around me, I am seeing more and more people on them. And I know that's, you know, that's also a mental thing. Would just take, you know, once you consider an idea, then you start seeing that idea in place all around you. You know, you buy a red car, you see a red car everywhere you go. But I do really feel like it's opening up an opportunity for people to get out there and get some fresh air and try traveling that way. So I think we're going to see more of it as time goes on. I just want to be prepared.
No, I think that's a great point. And I think I'll add to, we didn't really touch on some of the demographics that we would collect. One of them is like no, or like maybe one car households. And I think, I don't know if we specify it, but you know, the scope is, you know, just starting language. But I would add also areas with like disability would be a good one too. So I'll make sure that's in there. Bob.
Yeah, I've transformed from a regular two-wheel bicycle, and then I went to a step-through. Of course, they're calling them step-through now rather than women's bikes. And maybe that's to accommodate those people that need them. And of course, the electric bikes are also generally many of them are step-through. Mm-hmm. So that does offer that for people that have some limitations. And of course, the next step, which was for me, was a three-wheel recumbent. And of course, then they have a 36-inch wide span between the wheels. So a 4-foot sidewalk is pretty rough for those.
That's a good point.
I guess I just wanted to kind of touch on something that Jason and Heidi kind of said. You know, Jason with like the e-bikes, and then Heidi with the destinations. So a couple months ago, like CJ and I we kind of rode a electric scooter from downtown New Britain up to CCSU. So we can, you know, both those are two in-demand destinations. So I kind of envisioned this thing kind of like along, we rode up on the fast track multi-use trail. So that's kind of one of the trails I kind of envisioned doing that for like the rest of like throughout the region. So it's a great way, you know, you're still, you know, I guess you're off-road, but you can still use e-bikes, e-scooters, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of a straight shot. But I don't know, let's just kind of cycle me a little bit. So I guess if municipalities allow, you know, that's great. So. Sorry, CJ, I didn't mean to have you make you put your camera on. So.
All good, Mike. I agree, right? Like the scooters in certain situations, the same as e-bikes, like they're right. As we're discussions going, it's a great opportunity for people that were limited to now have that ability, not without being a motorcycle, moped. So good discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly wonder if we should include some kind of scooter into this as well. Just, you know, as Bob was saying, some people with limitations on actual bikes. You know, maybe scooters might be an easier. I don't know if it's, you know, assume that scooters and bikes kind of go together, but you know.
I think by building more bike infrastructure, you in turn are building more scooter infrastructure. Yeah. I think it goes hand in hand. We've talked to our operator in Hartford, Super Pedestrian, and we're like, you know, how can we assist you in any way? Like, you know. Is there anything that we can do to help your system grow and be more successful? And honestly, one of the responses he always has is build me more bike infrastructure, because it benefits bicyclists and scooter users, and any place where we can get a scooter off the sidewalk too, because I think that's some of the concerns about scooter uses is conflict with pedestrians. So if we can, you know, remove that conflict, all the better too.
I mentioned in Europe, well, my daughter and son-in-law commuted to work about 15 miles away, and it involved maybe a quarter mile to a train on both ends, and they got a regular scooter and used that and handle folded down, and so it was easy to take on the train, and likewise it would be for buses. If people had a safe place to use that scooter to fill in that gap at the beginning and the end of their public transportation ride.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal of this is to make infrastructure that everyone is comfortable using. So I apologize if I stated something incorrectly or misspoke earlier, but that's kind of the goal for this study itself. So
thanks, Mike. Looking forward to reading about it.
I want to jump on the next thing. Well, we got a small group today. I'm not going to force anyone to kind of talk, but does anyone have anything that anything new that's going on?
I could start if you want.
Sure.
So we're pretty excited. Our Stanley Loop Trail finished. That was a TA grant that started a while ago. I remember doing an interview through CROG, a number, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but it's finally complete. We did our semifinal. The trail, summarize it, it's like 3.5 miles through two parks, AW Stanley Park and Stanley Quarter Park, with loops at either end. Great, obviously in an urban environment to have a mostly wooded trail system, and we look to continue to expand it with the next TA, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood. So it's great, great it's done. We'll have photos soon available to send out to CROG. Our Beeline Trail, it goes from downtown New Britain, CT Fast Track Trail to Plainville Center. We have three phases within New Britain. They're in various levels of design right now, including semifinal for some of them. So that's moving right along, all funded all the way through construction. that we have our John Downey Drive Trail. It's a side trail in an industrial park area, doing a huge road reduction and adding a trail alongside, which we hope to connect to the rest of our trail network. But in the time being, it's an industrial park, a lot of users during lunchtime, walkers and some occasional cyclists during the day. But as a commuter route, it serves a good purpose. Our bike-friendly application went in, I think, prior to the last meeting. Haven't heard that the League of American Cyclists said they delayed their responses. So we're anxiously awaiting and fingers crossed for silver status there. But that's what we have going on here.
All right, thank you, CJ. Good luck with your application, too. Anyone else?
Jason in Rocky Hill. Earlier this year, we adopted our complete streets policy, which we're excited about, and we're going to start trying to incorporate complete streets in our designs going forward on roadway reconstruction. So I'm hoping that that can yield some good things for our residents. We also had started our first sustainability task force this year that I'm a liaison to. And there's some interest in trying to build a bicycle network in town, which we'd hope to be able to connect to some of these state arterials, which would be able to help connect Rocky Hill to some of our surrounding communities. And we have some lots of projects and one steep grant that we're trying to get out to bid this year. So that should give us about 4 additional miles of sidewalk, filling in some gaps in our network. So that's a good year for us, I think, if awesome. We can keep focused.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any other towns want to?
I'll just jump in. The project that we've been working on for our connectivity area has the ditches now filled in and everything's in place except for the top, which will be, I believe it's a stone dust. It is a multi-use path on the side of the road. It's actually, we don't call them sidewalks in Bolton. We call them paths, but it's basically a stone dust sidewalk. And it's eventually will run from the elementary school all the way through the center of town to the high school. And right now we've completed or close to completed the portion that runs from the firehouse to the town hall. So seems to be getting, we ran into a little bit of angst trying to start the project with people who were afraid that all their trees in their front yard were going to die. That's not happened. People seem to be relatively anxious about getting to use it. So hoping it's going to be done. It should be completed and ready for use in the spring. And it does go by our main green where we have concerts in the summer. So we're hoping people will use it to walk to get to there. So far, so good. We got probably 2/3 more to do, but so far, so good.
Thanks, Patrice. Excited to use the paths in Bolton coming in the spring. So thank you very much. Michelle, you have anything?
Yeah, I got lots of things in South Windsor sidewalk related. Evergreen Walk, although it's private development, they finished the nice trail network along the westerly side of the whole site. It actually goes for a couple miles, so you can park down in the apartments and end up all the way in Deming Street. So that's a really nice network that will eventually connect with some other sidewalks we have going. A lot of new sidewalks being built with road construction. Pleasant Valley Road is getting a whole sidewalk, the whole length of it, which will be great. Ties into a lot of existing neighborhoods. We're also, through some ARPA funds, going to be connecting the new Pleasant Valley School to linkages on Ellington Road and on Long Hill Road for sidewalks. Dart Hill Road, which, you know, is a road that goes into Vernon, will get sidewalks the length of it. So you'll have a connection all the way from Vernon up into South Windsor on Dart Hill. There's several existing sidewalks it'll connect to, but also several parks over in that area and schools. So our town council just recently approved Birch Hill, which is another major linkage for us to get to our schools for sidewalks. So we're finding now that we have a sidewalk plan with some priorities, we're finally getting some of these priorities built. So it's or at least in the funding stream, which is pretty exciting. The last one I'll mention is around the town center in the area where our post office is, Deming, that whole area there will be completed with sidewalks too. So We're pretty excited with what we got going on.
Yeah, awesome. You always got a lot of stuff going on with South Windsor, so thank you very much. Do we have anybody else?
I had a question for CJ. For one thing, I don't know if Lance Hansen from Winsted has reached out to you all, but he mentioned wanting to set up a site visit to look at all the good work you've all done on Complete Streets and other projects. Mentioned to him we'd be interested in tagging along. Someone else had sort of mentioned that invitation a while ago, and it's been on my mind since, so just wanted to put that out there that if it would be all right for us to tag along, if that ends up happening, we'd be interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Anytime we share our history or our path to where we got, call it that. Absolutely. Great.
Yeah, and on our side, we have a number of streetscape projects. Farmington Ave, we awarded a contract to construct that beginning next year, an extension of some of the streetscape work that's already been done. North Main Street, a large portion of that we're still planning to start construction on in the next few years. We're going to be applying for lots of funding for New Britain Ave. And then we have our trail projects on the south branch of the Park River and the Riverwalk that are still proceeding to permitting. We have the recreational trails grant for a connection between the Riverwalk and Keeney Park and other parts of the city. That'll be just a feasibility study and design for now, but we'd like to continue working with the National Park Service on that. And then we just have a lot of traffic calming projects all over the city in the Blue Hills neighborhood, especially right now, but really a number of places where we're trying to, our approach in general is to have more quick build projects and get community buy-in. And then if that's successfully received and we have the funding, make them more permanent, but just trying to get as many measures out there as possible with what we have.
All right, thank you very much, Owen. Anybody else before we finish up? I personally don't have anything else. If no one else does, I think we're good to go. And remember, we changed the meetings, so we'll be meeting in February, not March. So February instead. So, do you have anything else, Galen?
I don't think so. Just if anybody, I don't think we've asked this question. I know we often do, but if anybody has any specific questions or topics they would like us to kind of dive into for you guys in the upcoming year, whether it's on Walk Audits, whether it's on the Connecticut new design guidance, anything like that, just let us know.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Excellent. Anyone gonna second?
Second.
CJ, awesome. We're so formal. Awesome. All right. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Everyone have a great holiday.
You guys too.
Hi, everybody.
See you in 2024.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.